Dub Nation, you're listening to the Warriors Post Up with the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy.
A lot of times when you work games constantly, you're thinking about the next game and trying to get ready for that next game. And, you know, I look down from our booth right now, and there's always the same, you know, thing, people taking pictures of themselves here at Chase Center. We forget sometimes what a special experience this is to come to this beautiful building right by the bay, watch the NBA, watch the Warriors play. And this could be a chance, could be our last game here this year. We hope it's not. We hope that there's a playoff game here that we get to do. But if not, there's so many people in this building that make it a special place. And we thank them all for helping us and for helping the fans enjoy NBA basketball here. From the ushers to the people that sell the food to, you know, all the workers, the people that do the lights, the people right now who are working on the baskets and all the electronics around the baskets. It's just really cool. And, you know, we appreciate all that they do to help make our lives and our jobs easier. Good stuff.
No doubt about it. I mean, you go back a long ways. I go back to 90, you know, playing over in the Oakland Coliseum. And
I beat you by a year?
I think you did.
Yeah, wow.
I think you did. Although, I don't remember you there when I was there.
I was in Sacramento.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, wait a minute, you sneaked something past? I don't remember you there.
No.
Unless you looked like Steve Fizioc, then maybe you did.
Steve Fizioc. One of the nicest guys ever to announce.
Yep. And then he left there and ended up going to Anaheim.
Right.
Him and the Hud Dog, Rex Hudler, called the Angels, and they went to Kansas City.
He was in Kansas City when I was doing Ace TV.
Was he?
Yep.
Yeah, and then did the Royals. But no, the people, going back to when I played, have always made it. I mean, just showing up, and obviously they're different ushers, but I got to know all the ushers back when I was there, people that work there. It's just the fans. Sold out. We weren't even that great. We were like maybe a little over 500 team, but they sold it out. It was like 14,000. I can't remember the exact number. It was a hard ticket to get because we were fun to watch. And
15,000.
Is that what it was?
I think it was 15,000.
Okay.
I think so.
We sold out all the time. It just the crowds, the basketball fan base here in the Bay Area is fantastic, and it continues to be fantastic here at Chase. Look, it's the... You guys know, I don't need to tell you, it's a different crowd. It just is. It has been. I mean, it was different from 90 to 08 to 10 to 12, and it's always different when you move into a new building. But these fans are knowledgeable. They love their basketball. We love being here. We love calling games. It's something that we've done our entire lives, be involved in sports. And for me, to get a chance to call games for an organization I played for, and the head coach is one of my best friends. It's just I love showing up. The only disappointment this year was my season got cut short. I got to call about half the games, but I'm still happy to call whatever games I can, and I hope it lasts a little bit longer. I hope they can win a couple games. Do it for me, for crying out loud. Forget you guys. Do it for me. Okay, I missed a whole bunch of games. I'd like to call some more games with Tim, so let's go. Let's get a couple wins.
Well, you're going to be up there tomorrow night.
I will be there tomorrow night with you. Yep. I'm going to go to Sacramento, and then I will be with you on Wednesday, whether that be in L.A. or Portland.
Right.
And then we'll just hope for a couple wins at that point, and then we can continue to call games together.
I don't know what, if anything, you can draw out of this game. The Warriors had a lot of their key players
now,
out
this
don't game.
Try.
But
we should talk old Family Feud episodes instead of this game. Like, because there's literally nothing to take from this game.
There's a place I used to get some clothes tailored in downtown Oakland. It's right by the police station, and they do a great job in there. If you go by there, it's right next to the old bookstore too, and the Oakland Library bookstore. And they had a whole rack of those Steve Harvey suits.
Did they really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I almost bought one day, but I just don't think I have the body for that. You know, I'm just not tall enough to pull that off.
We get what? Did
I just saw
there's a
head
little
pop
kid
out.
That just popped up right in front of us. Oh, there he is.
There he is. Wow.
That's my grandson, Kai, who is right in front of our broadcast booth, and Walker keeps lowering him and then popping him up so he can say hi. What are you doing? Oh, there you are. What are you doing? That smile on his face is precious.
That is so awesome.
That is my son Walker and daughter-in-law, just daughter, I guess, Lisa. And that's their grandson, Kai, that you can't see. But, oh, he's so cute, and he's almost two years old.
They're expecting.
He'll have a little brother in July.
Wow.
So Kai, he seemed to have a good – Kai didn't mind everybody being hurt tonight. I think he was just having
a good time.
Yeah, he loved the big screen.
He came in to check on you at halftime.
He did. He wanted to come say hi to Papa and see what I was up to. So he came in the booth, checked everything out, was pushing some buttons just to kind of see if they're working properly. Said hi to everybody.
Yep.
Gave Alan knuckles. Gave RC some knuckles, and then took off and let. Mommy and Daddy take over for the second half. Now, I'm not sure how much of the game they actually got a chance to watch, but anytime – if a Kai's in a good mood, we're all in a good mood.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly it.
So, he's been fantastic. I love him. He's a ball. Him and Camila are so much fun. Those are my granddaughter who's six, and Kai is almost two. So, and then another one on the way. I was going to tell you, if we're not going to talk Family Feud, we could talk reverse mortgages, which I see the commercials all the time when I'm watching the Game Show Network. Yeah. Yeah. Seems like you can draw money out of your house and still stay in it. So it seems like a pretty cool deal.
Really? Tom wanted to do the games when he first came to us. He wanted to do the games with just a headset and the skinny Gene Rayburn microphone for the Bass game.
Absolutely.
We got to get him one of those.
That is the greatest game show of all time. With Gene Rayburn. Not the other ones. The old ones.
Yeah.
The old ones. Those were the absolute best. So, I love those. So, yeah, I mean, look, we don't learn much from this. I'm just hoping that they got two games. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that the players they're going to go to battle with on Wednesday night are the players they can play those two games with. Just to try to get some kind of rhythm. Now, how much rhythm can you get in two games? Not a lot, but it's better than not playing at all. You'd love to get Porzingis and Steph out there together for, let's say, 15 minutes a game.
Which I hope we'll see tomorrow night.
I hope we'll see tomorrow night. Because that, and we've talked about this, that was one of the things they're going to have to make a decision on during the offseason, whether to bring Porzingis back, how much to pay him, how long the contract should be. Whether he fits with Steph, how he fits with Steph, and how that fits into the plans, as far as budget's concerned. Like, what else do we need to be competitive? Because on the face of things, those two should fit together really well.
Right.
The pick and pop should be just, incredible. It really should. And then you add Butler in, cutting and slicing and doing his thing when he does. I mean, that's neither here nor there this year. That's for next year. But with Porzingis and Steph, and you get a Draymond out there, I'm not sure what the story is on Horford, like when they're going to reevaluate him and kind of look to see. But obviously that gives you a two-headed center that kind of does the same thing. Pick and pop possibilities, a center that can draw defenses out and shoot threes, can protect the rim. I mean, your rim protection goes from literally zero to pretty darn good when you have Horford and Porzingis. You got the rim protection pretty much taken care of at that point. So I'm hoping that they can get some of those guys back, if not most of those guys back, just to try to find some whatever rhythm they can over the next couple games.
You know, and again, small sample size, but I think in a play-in game, and depending on who's healthy and who's not healthy, I think if you throw Bassey out there with Steph and with some of the frontliners, he's going to be open. He's going to be a guy that could help them in a play-in game. And also because if you bring him off the bench, you know, say replacing a Horford or a Porzingis, even if it's for 5 minutes, it's a totally different look at five that the other team has to defend.
He seems to know who he is.
Yeah.
He's a rim runner. And by that, I mean, as soon as somebody gets a rebound, him or somebody else, he sprints down the middle of the court to the front of the rim on the offensive end, which draws the defense in, opens things up for your three-point shooters. He's a guy that can defend down low. He's a guy that's going to dive to the bucket and he's a guy that's going to look for offensive rebounding opportunities. Really nothing more, not a whole lot less. That's kind of who he is, and he plays to that. And their coaches love that. They know what to – if they know what to expect when they put you in, that's their favorite thing. Like, I know exactly what this person is going to give me on a nightly basis. And it appears in the limited time we've gotten to see him, like, he knows who he is. As Dirty Harry Callahan once said, a man's got to know his limitations. He seems to know his limitations, and that's a good thing.
It's the only NBA postgame show that will include references to Charles Bassey, Clint Eastwood, and Gene Rayburn.
The only
one. The only one.
Yes, and reverse mortgages.
Were you a dating game guy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I did. I love the dating game. You don't see that as much, like on the Game Show Network.
No.
You don't see that one. Like, I'm Game Show Network, like, before noon, because they show all the old ones.
Right.
Then they get to the new ones, I'm like, ah. That's it. The old ones are the best ones.
The mid-90s, I'm in Sacramento, the Canadian Football League expands, right? They want to try to go to the States. First year, I'm the radio voice of the Sacramento Gold Miners. My analyst is Lee Groskopf, who did stuff for Cal for years, right?
Okay.
Former first-round draft pick of the New York Giants out of Utah. He invented the shovel pass. He and his head coach in Utah.
Really?
Yeah. And Lee told me the story on a plane flight to Calgary or something that he was on the dating game as a number one draft pick of the New York Giants, right? That was a big deal back then,
yeah.
Right? So he's there, and he's on a panel with Burt Reynolds and just some other guy, right?
Wow.
And so this is the three choices, and the other guy wins.
No.
Yes. Oh. The other guy wins. It's Burt Reynolds, you know, football star, and another guy, and the other guy wins.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
That's incredible. Yeah. Was that I wonder if Jim Lang was the host.
It was Jim Lang.
Was it Jim Lang?
Jim Lang, yeah.
Jim Lang, fantastic host.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love the dating game because you couldn't see the guy. You had to pick.
Yeah.
You had to pick based on the answers.
Oh, and last thing I wanted to say off basketball topics here.
We got card sharks next. Press your luck.
All of it higher. Yeah. All of it higher.
$10,000 pyramid. Where are we going?
$10,000 pyramid. That's $10,000.
That was a good one. Press your luck was kind of – I kind of like
the whammy, but it's kind of lame.
It's just more luck than anything else.
So – I watch a lot of old movies.
No.
I like old movies.
Okay.
Shut up, RC. Just shut up back there. Just climb back into your hole, will you please?
Jeez. Wow.
On TCM, they have this thing on Saturday nights called Noir Alley.
Okay.
And it's hosted by a guy named Eddie Muller. He's an Alameda guy.
Really?
Yeah, he does his, like, he intros the movies, and he does it from a bar in Oakland, in downtown Oakland, right? He'll sit there in front of this bar, it's a great old-looking bar, and he talks about the movie and gives you all the background on the actors and the directors and why it's like a noir classic and everything. Yeah, and he's an Alameda guy.
I did not know that.
Yeah, we need to get him out to a game next year.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
It was interesting, because I've seen a channel called Noir Alley, but it was a different type of channel, so.
Moving right along.
We'll see you tomorrow on SAC.
Thank you.
Okay. Previous conversation not regulated by the SEC. Okay.
Goodbye.